Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, we got a busy couple of days. Well, I got a busy couple of days anyway. Later today, I'm going to hit the road. Tomorrow morning, we're going to actually do the show from Great Falls. I'll be back at the Heritage Inn for our live show tomorrow. We're probably going to have guests with us for the whole 2 hours between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. But if you're one of our listeners in Great Falls and you got a guest idea or you want to come down and be our guest, drop me an email, Aaron@MontanaTalks.com, or hey, just pop into the Heritage Inn and say hello tomorrow morning, and we'll see if we can sneak you on the show, because I know we do have a few guests who may already be ready to join us tomorrow on the show. The reason we're headed to Great Falls is because we've got a great group of folks. It's the Montana Association of County Road Supervisors. They're having their annual meeting in Great Falls tomorrow, and they asked me to give a talk around 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. So I thought, yeah, hey, that'd be great. It sounds like a great group of folks to get a chance to say hello to, and it's also a good excuse to do our show out on the road again. I always like to take the show. I like to say we like to get out on patrol, get out of the studio. Yeah. Even in weather like this, we like to get out on patrol, get out of the studio, and go see folks in main streets all across Montana. So look forward to doing that on tomorrow's show. So that's why today, though, I want to keep the phone lines open for you. So we've got the phone lines open for the next 2 hours. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks, 406-294-0970, or you can send us a message on our Montana Talks app. But with such a busy lineup expected tomorrow, definitely want to free things up, take your phone calls and more today on the show, because it's a little hard to take callers when we're on the road. I get feedback, and so it just gets to be a little bit of a challenge. But one of the things we talked about last week, and I told you that I was going to look into it, see what more information we could find, was a concern over digital currency being forced on Americans. And not only digital currency being forced on Americans, but there were a couple of callers last week who raised concerns about a potential CBDC being pushed in Montana, a central bank digital currency being pushed in Montana. You know, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis have both weighed in against empowering a central bank digital currency in their states. In fact, in a recent tweet, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis had this to say about a CBDC. Quote, "The movement to establish a central bank digital currency is an attempt to surveil and control the finances of Americans. It would violate privacy, limit consumer choice, and undermine market competitiveness. CBDC has no place in Florida, and we are proud to lead the fight against it." And, of course, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, she was on Tucker Carlson's program recently talking about why she vetoed a CBDC measure. So the question, at least a couple of you threw my way, was, does SB 370 in the Montana legislature force a CBDC on Montana? I'll tell you what I found out right after this, and we'll take your phone calls and more. Our jails are full. Our prison capacity is at the max. So, of course, we should send 120 prisoners down to this prisoner in Arizona. That's the only short-term option on the table right now. Now, in the long term, yes, we need to support treatment programs, but we've been doing a lot of that already. We need to build more bed space capacity in our prisons. That's just some of what we've been talking about on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard statewide, 9 to 10 right here.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so does Senate Bill 370, I think, was it Thursday or Friday of last week when this conversation came up here in the 8 o'clock hour of the show? It all kind of started. We had a great phone call from Gary in Billings. He was raising concerns about digital currency being forced on Americans. And then, you know, I added, especially in light of the social media censorship that has taken place between the federal government and social media giants like Facebook and Twitter. So people can easily see how, you know, the same federal government that basically forced big tech to shut down your social media accounts or infringe on your First Amendment rights, how easily could big government basically shut down your bank account too? And you know, Joe Biden last week was having a big meeting with Justin Trudeau. You know, it was dictator week last week. You had Xi and Putin in Moscow. You had Biden and Trudeau in Ottawa. And you remember Trudeau, the Canadian prime minister, when truckers all across Canada and farmers and others were having these freedom convoys and these freedom rallies, peaceful protests in Canada, Justin Trudeau was shutting off their fundraising bank accounts. GoFundMe wasn't allowing people to contribute to simply buy gas for these truckers or food, you name it. And so how quickly could they shut down could they use the power of big government to shut down all of your access to digital currency, for example? But yeah, with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis warning that the establishment of a central bank digital currency would be an attempt to surveil and control the finances of Americans, you know, that's why there were a couple of people at least who asked the question, does Senate Bill 370, which already passed the state Senate in Montana and is now being heard in the House, does that force a CBDC on Montana? Now, former state Senate Majority Leader Jeff Essman, he was sharing some of this information via Twitter, including that tweet that I just shared from Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. And former state Senate Majority Leader Jeff Essman out of Billings, who also happens to be a former chairman of the Montana GOP, says, yes, people need to contact their House representatives and urge them to oppose the bill unless CBDC is removed. I also reached out to Kyle Schmock. He is the communications aide to the state Senate majority leadership. Schmock says that all of the concern about CBDC is coming from the definition of money on page 5 of the bill. So the concern about a CBDC is coming from page 5 of the bill that has the definition of money. He added that Senate Majority Leader Steve Fitzpatrick out of Great Falls and the people involved in updating the Uniform Commercial Code are not intending for the bill to do anything on CBDC and don't think that it does as currently written. But Fitzpatrick is looking into changing or removing that part of the bill to clear up the concern. So, yeah, they don't believe that SB 370 as written would actually force a CBDC, but they are looking at potentially removing or changing that part of the bill if that would clear up the concern. So there you go. That's the latest. We'll keep you posted as we hear more. Phone lines are open for you. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. First up on the phone lines this morning, we got JQ Public calling from Kalispell. Great to hear from you.
Hey, great to hear from you, Aaron. I'm calling in regards to a call that you got from another listener here in Kalispell named Kim. And she brought up some issues regarding responsibility for us taking care of our homeless here and some of the policies that Flathead County commissioners have, Brad Abel, Pam Holmquist, and Randy Brodell. It was sort of regarding a deterrent and law enforcement and state laws on how to deal with the criminal element of our homeless population. And she was actually very articulate and smart. You even said that you agreed with all the proposals that she had to help to deal with that and to try to get to these people when they're younger and some of our public institutions to stave off and sort of mitigate the potential for these problems. And, you know, I've heard you talk about, we've talked about the lack of fathers in the home and the erosion of family values. But I just kind of wanted to, I want to support our county commissioners. And she sort of said a derogatory thing about them. We've got the best county commissioners, I think, in the state. And, you know, you've had Pam Holmquist on. You've talked to Brad Abel.
Yeah.
I've met both those. I have not met Randy Brodell because he's District 3. So, but anyway, It was really great.
Yeah, her point, because you're right, you got some great Flathead County commissioners. But her point was, because we were talking about how our jails are full, our prison is at capacity, and the Democrats don't want to ship some of these prisoners down to Arizona. Her response was, well, and you're right, Kim, she was an articulate caller. I hope she calls back in today, actually, because we were really short on time last week. But her point was, well, I support these programs to try to keep the people out of our prisons and to keep them from recommitting some of these crimes over again. And I said, well, yeah, I agree with you there. We all agree with you. But the problem is, and this is why the Flathead County Commissioners are spot on with the homeless program and so much more, is that the scales have tipped too far in one direction. We have put all of our eggs in the treatment and pre-release program basket, and these same basket cases end up keep committing more crimes, and then we don't have space in the jail to put them in. And so it just becomes this revolving door, this catch and release program for criminals. And so, yeah, I appreciated where she was coming from, but we're in a crisis right now. We have got to do something to deal with this spike in crime, especially in our larger cities here in Montana. JQ Public, stand by. We got a hard break, and then we'll come back to your phone calls right after this.
This is where Montana talks.
I love to spend a little time in the wood shop. I took my daughter to work when she was about 8. It was Father-Daughter Day, and we came home at lunch, and my wife said to Rachel, what'd you think of Daddy's work? And Rachel, being the astute, perceptive 8-year-old, said, he doesn't work, he just talks on the phone. So getting into the wood shop on the weekends, I actually can point at something I actually did.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, looks like we got more folks calling in right now. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Hey, got a great message from Josh out of Ohm, Montana, out of the Great Falls area. He says, good morning from Houston. It is wonderful that via cellular technology, I can easily listen to Montana news and conversations while trucking across the country. Very cool. So, yeah, I got to see Josh on one of our recent trips to Great Falls. They came down and said hello to us at the Dairy Queen there, right across from the Heritage Inn. And he's driving truck in Houston, Texas this morning, and keeping America moving and tuning into Montana Talks at the same time. Great to hear from you. JQ Public, any reaction to what I said before the break there? And then I got to move on to some other callers here.
Yes, sir. I just want another 30 seconds. I was really pleased how you did openly invite Kim to call back. And, she was a good caller, raised some good points. It kind of encouraged me that if we get more involvement from people that are the Democrat persuasion, we can focus on what we agree on and gain some traction and momentum. You got to get your feet wet before you dive in head first and get more things done here. When the vote for the budget was 68-32 and then things got shut down, that's not serving their constituency and serving the people of Montana. So it was a positive call. And I hope we get more. I hope we get more people that join in.
Yeah, I think she said. I think to quote her, she said something to the effect of, "Well, I'm one of those liberals who thinks we shouldn't build more prisons." And then she talked about, "Well, I want to see these treatment programs, and I just want to see these other things." And what it kind of reminds me of is, a lot of us, we can be biased to. Yeah, let me put it this way. One of the criticisms that you'll hear, or one of the questions you always need to ask yourself, one of the criticisms of the Washington D.C. national security policymakers is that they're always fighting the last war. They're not looking to see, what's the threat on the horizon right now? What is our next war going to be, right? So if you're just looking back at the last 20 years and war on terror, global war on terror, global war on terror, global war on terror, and you're not looking ahead saying, whoa, threat of China, Yeah, Russia, but China's the much bigger threat here. If you didn't see the news in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend, the Central American country of Honduras just officially is no longer recognizing our friends in Taiwan. They're no longer recognizing Taiwan, and they're basically bowing to the communist Chinese now on this one. And that's just a pattern of what is going on all over the world. You think about what China did with COVID-19 and what they did to this world, into the global economy, and yet China is benefiting from all of this right now. And our national economy is a train wreck under Joe Biden and John Tester. But you might be saying, Aaron, what are you talking about China for? I thought you were talking about crime and violence in Montana and jails being full and prisons being at capacity. My point being is that I think there are a lot of people out there, they're fighting the last war. They're not looking at the war that we're facing right now or the war that's on the horizon when it comes to crime and violence and the transient homeless population and our prisons and everything. And so, well, I appreciate where people are coming from saying, well, we need treatment programs and we need to help people. And yes, 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 yes to all the above. Nobody's saying do away with treatment programs. Nobody's saying do away with pre-release programs. What we are saying is that incarceration and punishment still has to be a factor, and that we have focused too much on treatment and pre-release programs and handing out ice cream cones, and we haven't focused on incarceration, and those chickens have come home to roost now. And so yeah, 10, 20 years ago, we need more treatment. Well, we've gone too far in that direction. So it's time to move back towards the middle, and it's time to have more punishment. Crime and punishment, well, now we're just getting the crime, and, well, we'll dump you in Billings. We'll dump you back out on the streets. JQ Public, thanks for the call. Let's see, Tamara in Billings next up on the phone lines. What's going on, Tamara?
Okay, quick comment about my daughter-in-law who's from Turkey. She's over there right now. Her dad's getting major heart surgery. And he retired a few years ago, sitting pretty good financially, got a nice big flat outside of Istanbul. Now, 6 months ago, they were forced to move into a real small place downtown Istanbul, so they walk everywhere. They pulled all of their cash out, buying gold blocks, and, well, that's not good. But here, I'm getting the habit of going to the ATM machine, pulling out $500 cash, so it's not on my bank account, all of the small businesses I'm patronizing, so it's not on record. I'm getting the habit of doing that now. And some of the cashiers are commenting that they're looking at doing the same thing, because one cashier commented, says, yeah, I went and purchased something with my debit card, and all of a sudden I get advertisements of what I purchased. So they're already monitoring us.
Oh, yeah, they're monitoring. They know everything you bought. They know what your interests are. They know all that stuff. They're tracking everything. And even if it's not the government, what do you think Google's tracking you on? In fact, we could mention a word right now and your phone would pick it up. Like if John Jackson was, don't have your phone on when John Jackson's talking on the show, because you'll probably get all sorts of crazy ads with some of the crazy stuff that John Jackson jokes about on the show here, right? Well, and especially like, hey, if you're tipping your waiter or your waitress, tip them in cash, right? It's kind of the nice thing to do. I know a lot of waiters and waitresses would appreciate it at least.
Yes, I'm starting to do that also, and I'm starting to pay cash when I go to a restaurant now too.
Well, and why is that even more important now? That the Democrats want to tax, Joe Biden wants to tax even more aggressively, restaurant employees and waiters and waitresses. But we were told, oh no, he only wants to go after people making over $400,000 a year. Well, then why are you going after the waiters and the waitresses?
Yep. Thank you very much.
Hey,
appreciate the call.
Thank you. No, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970, the number for you if you want to jump in on the conversation here. Let's see. Next up on the phone lines, Aaron in Three Forks, listening to 1450 KMMS. What's going on, Aaron?
How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Good. This whole idea that we need to meet in the middle, there is no meeting in the middle with these people. I had a conversation with an elderly gentleman, and I use that term loosely. He was telling me that he no longer supports Republicans, and he's a Democrat now. And I asked, I said, well, you're down with the whole CRT and the race baiting and the education system and the transgender stuff. You're down with all that. And he says, yeah. I said, but you're not down. He says it's a free country. People should be able to teach how they want. Everybody should just be free to do whatever they want. And I said, what about teaching religion in schools? He says, well, hell no. You can't do that. So there is no meeting them in the middle. Their sole purpose is to defeat conservatives. They don't care the consequences. They don't care what's best for the nation. They want to defeat conservatism. They would love to have conservatives thrown in prison. These people are not, they're reprobates by definition. So
it sounds to me,
I don't think there is any meat in the middle.
Remember when Rush Limbaugh would talk about the seminar callers? They would call into the, you could always tell, they'd call in, well, I used to be a Republican, but here's why I'm not voting for the Republicans anymore. And Rush would just spot them in a heartbeat, right? And he'd be like, here's a Democrat putting out party line talking points, trying to convince moderate or conservative Americans that somehow the GOP is off track. And there were seminar. It sounds like you actually got to meet a seminar caller live in person there. Well, I'm not voting for the Republicans anymore. When it sounds like this guy was a radical anti-Christian nut in the first place, who was never voting for Republicans anyway.
Well, you know, I have no idea. What really shocked me is, you know, how they say if you're young and conservative, you don't have a heart. If you're old and a liberal, you don't have a brain. I really wanted to bring that up to him because he was older, and it's like, you know, I mean, you can't, they've just lost their ability to trust what their eyes are telling them. And, you know, they're listening to the news.
Or you got these old Farmers Union Democrats that still think this is the party of FDR. And so they still wear that, they still wear that jersey. And they see the Montana Farmers Union propping up Joe Biden. And they're looking for an excuse to still be Democrats when there are no excuses left to still vote for the Democrats. But oh, by golly, they still think it's the Farmers Union of the FDR Democrats. They're not. They've gone absolutely insane. And for many of the reasons that you just threw out there, Aaron.
Yeah. Well, that's all I had to say, man. I don't think there is any meat in the middle anymore. I think it's us against them. So.
Well,
all right, take care.
All right, you too. Well, it's like this parents' rights bill discussion, the parents' rights bill that was pushed forward in the House last week, based off of the news reports that we heard, the descriptions of it. This is all America 101 stuff. Hey, are there security concerns in your kid's school? Maybe the parents should be able to hear about that. Hey, are they pushing this agenda? Are they pushing that agenda? Maybe people should be able to hear about this stuff. This is democracy 101. This is American government 101. This is civics 101. These are the basics of our republic. And even that, to the modern day Democrats and to many in the media, is controversial right now. What is a woman? That is controversial. I could go through 11 different names of men who were named or nominated to be the woman of the year. And oh, by the way, I think we got Tim and Billings on the phone lines. Tim, stand by, because I don't know if you saw this story, Tim, but cue up DJ Khaled, because we've got another one. Another one. There is a Hollywood producer, apparently she's pretty prominent, who a Native American activist group says they have the proof she lied about being Native American. Oof. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Reporting from the Montana Legislature, I'm Eleanor Smith. A bill that would require the Department of Health and Human Services to report all instances of abuse and neglect of patients in the state psychiatric hospital to the State Protection and Advocacy Program unanimously passed in the House Friday and will now await the governor's signature or veto. Democratic Senator Jen Gross is the sponsor of Senate Bill 4, but Republican Representative Jennifer Carlson carried it in the House. She said the bill was designed to make sure advocacy groups can step in as soon as possible to help patients through abuse and neglect allegations and investigations.
We learned that there was a problem, an ongoing problem, with the federally recognized Agency for Protection and Advocacy of Individuals with Mental Illness was not getting the required reports from the state hospital regarding abuse and neglect allegations and investigations. This is a quite simple bill. It just puts in the code that those investigations must be reported to the advocacy group within 5 days of an allegation rather than waiting.
The bill would require the Department of Health and Human Services to report any alleged abuse or neglect to the program within 5 days of the incident and then give another report of their findings no less than 5 days after the completion of the investigation with no information redacted by the hospital director. Senate Bill 4 has been unanimously unopposed since it was introduced to the Senate in January. The state psychiatric hospital is the only publicly operated mental health facility in the state, and it was founded in the 1800s. The facility has been plagued with reports of abuse and neglect, and last year lost its accreditation from the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The hospital has also faced staff shortages and high turnover. Just this week, interim hospital administrator Carter Anderson was placed on leave, and hospital officials did not provide a reason as to why. He will be replaced with David Culberson, a hospital executive from California, on March 20th.
This legislative update is brought to you by the University of Montana School of Journalism, the Montana Broadcasters and Newspaper Associations, and the Greater Montana Foundation.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is classic. We're the ones that are fear-mongering here. One of our liberal listeners in Bozeman says, oh, talking about CBDC, central bank digital currency, you're fear-mongering. Okay, if you think we are fear-mongering by raising concerns about digital currency and big government shutting down your accounts after everything we've seen over the last 3 years, you're probably still running around, driving in your car by yourself, wearing a stupid cloth mask that doesn't even block a virus. But we're fear-mongering? You think the world is going to end because people are using a gas stove to cook their eggs this morning, but we're the ones that are fear-mongering here? I mean, for Pete's sake. Good night. That was a good laugh. Thanks for sending that message on the Montana Talks app. We got a couple other messages on our Montana Talks app and an email here. Ed Diemert sent us an email. Ed says this, good morning, Aaron. The bill in the House may not absolutely install digital currency, but it puts in place everything for it. If you go to a new website called FedNow, it explains a lot about the new rollout of digital banking. Already 13,000 banks will implement this starting July 1st, 2023. I do not know anyone who wants to turn over total control to the federal government and the Federal Reserve. The bill is typical attorney language. So he's talking about a Senate Bill 370 in the Montana legislature that already passed the state Senate but is now before the House. And some, like former state Senate Majority Leader Jeff Essman, are saying, yes, that provision needs to be stripped out. Now, for those of you just joining us, maybe you missed the earlier portion of the hour. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, I've got this full report on our website right now. The Senate Majority Leader, Steve Fitzpatrick out of Great Falls, is basically saying, hey, they don't believe that SB 370 does provide for a CBDC, a central bank digital currency. However, they are looking at either revising or withdrawing that portion of the bill to address any concerns. Let's see. Gomer in Kalispell sends us this message. Regarding central bank digital currency, it's not a matter of if the bill forces it. The issue is if it allows for CBDC in any form or makes crypto illegal, the bill needs to be blocked. That was from Gomer in Kalispell. Let's see. Got a message from Evan in Belt here. I'll share in just a second as well. But first up, Tim in Billings. Tim, what do you want to talk about this morning?
Morning, Aaron. Really quickly on the CBDC, that, you know, digital assets in and of themselves aren't scary. It's centralized banks operating them. You know, Thomas Jefferson thought that a central bank was more more of a threat to any nation than any standing army. So central banks have done more destruction around the world than all the armies of the world. You know, because they just they control the economy, they control the currency, they control everybody by manipulating the economy, and it's terrifying.
That's a good point about the central bank concerns, because at this point, what is digital currency? I mean, you know, when at the end of the day, it's all basically digital at some point when you're looking at the bottom line numbers on it. Now, I think a lot of us still don't understand this whole concept of Bitcoin and some of this other stuff. But at the end of the day, it's all electronically managed right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of being electronically managed, and you mentioned Google, you know who happened to set up the software program that the Chinese government uses to use their social credit score? Google. It was called Project Dragonfly. And so we've got this company here in the United States who helped communist Chinese country set up their social credit score to where they could shut people down in a heartbeat. But yet, how many government grants, tax breaks, and everything else do they get because they keep giving money to these crooked politicians?
Yeah, good question. Good question. Your phone call is coming in a little light on the audio, it sounds like to me. So we were still able to hear you pretty good. But either way, Tim, if you didn't see the story yet, Fox News has a story about it. The DailyCaller.com has a story about it here. Apparently, a Native American activist group has done the research. They've done the fact-checking here. There is a prominent Hollywood producer who apparently has been faking her identity. Let's see. Native American watchdog group, the Tribal Alliance Against Frauds, recently demanded an apology from Hollywood producer Heather Ray over lying about her background. 56-year-old Ray, who serves on the Academy of Motion Pictures Indigenous Alliance, has previously stated that she came from an Indian mother and a cowboy father, while several news outlets reported her as having a Cherokee parent. However, the New York Post reported about recent claims by Native American activists who insist that Ray is at best only one 2048th Cherokee. So here we go. Another white liberal who identifies as black or who identifies as Native American. And I thought you could identify as anything you want to identify as. So there you go. There's another one. Let's go back into the phone lines. Francis in Big Fork, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, I just heard on the radio earlier that Biden has TikTok in his house.
Oh, really? So right next to the classified documents, probably, huh?
I bet it is. He's probably taking pictures of them, sending them to China.
So they're saying,
I doubt it one bit.
Oh, so were they saying that they have TikTok at the White House, or that he has it at his house, like he's just playing on TikTok next to the Corvette and the boxes of classified material?
In his house, as far as I could understand, yep.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I don't know how they found out, but not somebody there must have squealed on him.
So what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's awful, because he's getting his instructions right from the Chinese, telling them how to wreck the country.
Yeah, so
just like with this banking stuff, schemes, and wanting to have, you know, the money, like Chinese want to have all control so they can control all our money.
Yeah, I hadn't heard a report that he had TikTok in his home and on his own house, although it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Hunter Biden's had everything else inside of his house.
Yeah, he did.
What I had heard is that basically you had the host of CBS's Face the Nation. She asked a really good question to John Kirby. John Kirby is one of the spokesmen for the White House. He was on Face the Nation yesterday, and she basically called them out for the hypocrisy. They're now trying to pretend like they're acting tough on China and like they're going to be tough on TikTok. And she made the point. She's like, you guys just had some TikTok celebrity at the White House. I don't know if you remember this. This was back in 2021. They brought this guy to the White House, and they were celebrating the fact that some TikTok star was going to be at the White House. It was the guy with the really long fingernails. He was wearing a skirt. maybe even high heels too.
So for the 150 million Americans who still use this app, how do you say to them, sorry, we're going to take it away?
It's not on
it
government.
Looks hypocritical. It's hypocritical.
Not, it's not on government devices. We do have legitimate national security concerns. We have legitimate national security concerns over TikTok.
It's a useful political platform.
Yeah. So as, so Frances, back to your point, like she's making the point that you guys have been propping up TikTok, this communist Chinese intelligence collection platform, this influence operation for the communist Chinese.
Yeah, they're giving everything to the Chinese. And then we wonder why we're in such a mess.
Well said. Well said. Francis, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Hey, well, let's see. We got, before we get to the break, let's get to, is it Frank in Evergreen? Yeah, Frank in Evergreen. Go ahead. We got about a minute before the break.
Okay, this will only take a minute. Aaron, there's a phone scam that people or the listener should be aware of. It's from international unknown phone numbers. Let me see. Let me find it here. It is basically what it is they'll call you and then they'll and maybe you didn't and you don't answer and then you call back. You don't want to ever call back a known number. Because if you do, you might get recorded. And one of the questions is, they'll come in with a weak volume. Can you hear me? Or can you hear me now? And if you say yes, well, they'll record that as an answer or response and then maybe charge you $100 a minute for that call.
Interesting. Yeah, no, you're right. With the technology that's available now, somebody can even call your cell phone and make it look like their phone call came from somebody you know. And that person you know, their name will pop up. You will think it is them calling. So there's all sorts of scams and tricks. I remember when we were in Miles City last year, they were warning seniors about, you know, medical devices that will show up on your doorstep and get shipped to you. And then they'll try to falsely bill these companies for it. Thanks for the call.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I don't want Republicans using incendiary language at all, ever. I don't think it's helpful for the cause. I think we argue on the merits. How do we save our economy? How do we keep our cities and towns safe and secure? How do we achieve energy independence? How do we make the world a safer place? How do we establish American dominance again in the world? Not hard stuff. Congresswoman Presley, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there is unrest in our lives. And unfortunately, there's plenty to go around. Kamala Harris, they're not going to stop. Beware, because they're not going to stop. It's not going to. They're not going to stop before the election day in November. They're not going to stop after the election day. We're not going to stop.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Hammock, check. Arnold Palmer, check. Motorized solar shades, yes. Now get your home and patio spring ready with Blinds.com and upgrading your blind shade shutters with Blinds.com. It's a small project with a huge impact. Now relax, let Blinds.com take care of all the installation. You just click installation when you check out. So save 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Save 45% off on selected products. Blinds.com, rules and restrictions
may apply.
Finding
great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned, online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Yeah, I mentioned earlier we got a message on our Montana Talks app from Evan in Belt. We were talking about crime. Our jails are full. Our prisons are at capacity. And then we've got the Mexican drug cartel fueled drugs and violence that's fueling a lot of this crime here in Montana. And yet the Democrats in Helena, oh, no, let's just put them in pre-release programs. They can work as a dishwasher at your downtown steakhouse while they go through the program, and then, they show up a week later and stab four people. It's not working. Absolutely not working. You're causing more harm. You're creating more victims. And so that's why we're at a crisis here, where the state is saying, okay, until we get more secure bed capacity to house these criminals, we're going to look to send 120 of them down to a prison in Arizona. But anyway, Evan and Belt says this, not that it's an end-all cure to the crime streak in the state, but shutting down our southern border would definitely help. This would surely slow down the fentanyl coming across the border from China that is killing our citizens and seems to be supported by Tester and Biden, because they sure as hell aren't doing anything about it. Yeah, did you hear, Evan? Now Joe Biden is claiming that the Republicans don't want to secure the southern border. Where did I see that? It was like a Fox News headline or something. Joe Biden is now claiming that it's the Republicans who don't want to secure the southern border. I mean, if we didn't have all of these other crazy stories in the news right now, that would definitely be today's Oh for Pete's Sake moment. But there's a lot of competition there. There's a lot of competition for the Oh for Pete's Sake moment this morning. Given all the women who are, all the men who are, getting the Woman of the Year titles, et cetera. But let me see. Speaking of our southern border, speaking of crime and drugs, the Mexican drug cartels, fentanyl, and more, we've got a story on our Montana Talks website right now. Montana fentanyl seizures are up 11,000% in the past 2 years. Here's Attorney General Austin Knutson in an interview with our friend Peter Christian from KGVO News.
But in the last 2 years, our fentanyl seizures from those HIDTA task forces have gone up 11,000%, Peter, just here in Montana. That's staggering. We need more law enforcement resources. I'm a fiscal conservative. I don't like spending money. I spent time in the legislature. My record bears that out. But we cannot keep policing in Montana like it's 1995. It's not. Our population is going up. Violent crime is going up. Drug crime is going up.
All right. And there's more where that came from. I'll try to share that with you coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Well, it's another snowy day out there. I think it snowed for almost 24 hours straight in parts of Montana starting Sunday. But spring is going to be here. I promise eventually it'll be here, and then it'll decide to be winter again. Then it'll be spring again. But no, eventually there's going to be nice weather, and we'll actually get to enjoy it for a continued stretch. Well, you hope you can enjoy it, but I know some of you, you can't get out there and enjoy it when there's nice weather, even because you've got joint pain, you've got knee pain, you've got back pain, maybe hip pain. Well, I'll tell you what, if all you're hearing is, well, if you want to get out there, you're going to have to get surgery, or you're going to have to take these pain medications, well, please stop what you're doing right now and give a call to QC Kinetics, because what QC Kinetics specializes in is regenerative treatments to give you lasting pain relief the natural way. What they do is they get the healing properties that are already in your body, and they use those healing properties to heal your body, basically putting it right into those achy joints and the damaged tissue. QC Kinetics has over 100 clinics all across America, but they're now finally right here in Montana, so you can get a free consultation with local medical professionals. Call QC Kinetics now, 406-201-6263, 406-201-6263. All right, we'll get to your national news update here at the top of the hour. Phone lines are open for the full 9 o'clock hour as well, if you got something you want to talk about.